I smoked that DMT. I have no idea what I was going to experience. I'd read a bit about it, but you can't really, you know, have any idea until you do it. And I just, it felt like my soul had been sucked out and thrown off into the, you know, wherever. And I just went on this crazy trip. I had no idea where I was, lost all contact with my body.
First words of the day. How are you guys? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. My name is Ari Shaffir, and I'm your host. Today on the podcast, I discuss the drug DMT, dimethyltryptamine or something. That part doesn't matter to me. I don't really care about what it's called. What I do care about is the experience. And I came across a comedian in Scotland, in Edinburgh, from, I don't know where he's from, somewhere in England, but he lives in London. And his name is Carl Donnelly. He has a podcast, actually, on the All Things Comedy Network, on my comedy network, called the Carl Donnelly and Chris Martin Podcast. So check it out. It's on iTunes. I've been on there. Bill Burr's been on there. I don't know. Tons of people went on there. Brendan Burns. If you ever want to get into like British comedy, Tom Rhodes. Oh, look at this. Tons of people. Bill Burr's episode number 77. That's a good starting point. Yeah, I don't know any of the rest of the... No, some of them. Lee Kearns. That's cool. Pete Johansson. Nice. Anyway, he's a really funny comic. He did my storyteller show in Scotland, and he fucking killed it. On the only night we really had a heckler. Hecklers, excuse me. It was the only night. It was really bad. And him and Alfie Brown did it. And Alfie had to deal with these people. I had to deal with these other people. They said it would be that every night, but it really wasn't. It was just one night. And then Carl came in and did fucking great. He did great. Got to his story. Also incorporated how weird it was in the room. Fucking solid comic. Saw his hour too. It was great. So anyway, check it out. Carl Donnelly and Chris Martin Podcast. You can check out all his live dates if you want at carldonnelly.co.uk/live. But the point is, when I met him, Ian Sterling, the Scottish comic, I think I brought up mushrooms or something. I think I just mentioned it. And then Ian Sterling was like, oh, you got to meet Carl Donnelly. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, you got to meet Carl Donnelly. And so I talked to him, and he's way into psychedelics. And specifically, I mean, I know a lot about mushrooms. I've done them a few times. Did them yesterday. stay tuned for the end of the episode for another Dope Meals. Oh, that's what I'm calling it now. Instead of East Village, Eats Village. Somebody suggested it online. I forgot their name. But somebody suggested Dope Meals or Dope Foods. Wait, now I don't know which one's better. Dope Meals. Just about good food. And then incidentally, obviously, I'll be gacked on weed when I go to most of these places. But anyway, I'm sidetracking myself. DMT is a drug that has always interested me. I've never come across it until recently. It ain't a party drug. I mean, I guess I first heard about it from Joe Rogan. Actually, I'd say a lot of people first heard about it from Joe Rogan. I first got into weed, too, from Rogan. I mean, I already smoked it a few times, but he used to bring these edibles to the comedy store. I mean, like 10, 12 years ago, when medical marijuana was just sort of a rumor around L.A., like a couple people had their cards, but it didn't really make any sense. Back then, I think you had to pay a doctor like $300 instead of now, which is $45. And he used to bring in lollipops, or soft drinks, pot soft drinks. And they would wreck me. I mean, I used to call him El Diablo for a while because I'd be high. I don't know how I'd get home. I'd be way too high to drive. I know how I got home. I remember now. I would just stay 5 car lengths behind the person in front of me. And if anybody cut into that car, that space, back it up 5 car lengths. And if they went somewhere I wasn't going, half the time, I'd just miss my turn and go where they were going. But anyway, Rogan also was the first to know of anyone I know about DMT, about this crazy drug that completely puts you out and it's only supposed to last for about 10 minutes. I think he did an interview in some movie called The Spirit Molecule. I'm getting my dates, my facts wrong, but the point is Rogan would talk to a lot of people about it. And it's this weird drug that, I mean, puts you out. It makes you leave your body, from what I've heard. And he had done it a few times. But I know Rogan, and I know his experience on it. And I took DMT once, and I didn't quite have the same experience. And so I figured I'd talk to someone who I didn't know that well and let him explain it to me. And it was, I'm so glad I did, because Carl, he's taken it so many times. And he's had that experience that Rogan talks about, and then he's had the experience that I'm talking about. He's had lots of experiences on DMT. And it was great. It was a great talk. It was a great talk at his flat in Scotland. Flat, that's what they say there instead of apartments. Everybody in Scotland, all these comics just end up living together. So I stayed with those 4 guys from the Dave Smith podcast, those 3 guys, excuse me, and me. Carl stayed with Chris Martin, the other guy from his podcast, and a couple other people. And it was a great talk, and I really got to know a lot more about DMT, how to smoke it, what to expect from it, how often to expect that from it. So if you ever wondered about DMT, this is the podcast for you. And if you have no idea what DMT is, like Ren Azizi, I told him about it. He goes, what is that? A lot of people haven't heard about it. And guys, I don't know where to get it. I would suggest just going to your friendly neighborhood drug dealer and talking to them and finding out. I did get close on the DMT, but we'll talk about it in this episode. I started seeing some stuff, but I was still there. I was still in my backyard. But the girl I was doing it with, she was gone. She described it as dying. She died and came back. Anyway, so let's start the episode. Also, I've got some live dates. I'm going to be in Sydney this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Everything's sold out except Friday. We moved to a bigger venue. So Friday, there's still some seats left. Go to my website, arithegreat.com, for tickets. And then I'm also going to be in, well, I've got Calgary, November 5th, 6th, 7th at Yuck Yucks. Philadelphia, I'm doing Helium, November 12th through 14th. And then I'm doing a This Is Not Happening show in Brooklyn as part of the New York Comedy Festival. This Is Not Happening at the Bell House in Brooklyn. Get tickets at arithegreat.com. It's a big, big venue, so I'm hoping to fill it up. It should be great. I'm trying to get some really good people. But just get tickets. It's always a good show. Anyone who's been there in New York and LA just knows. It doesn't really matter who's on the lineup. It's just a good show. And then Texas, I'm doing Addison and Houston in November. Check out all my website, all my dates at arithegreat.com. And you can get extra details about the podcasts every week there. Details about the comedian and all the musical information from the podcast there at arithegreat.com. Okay, also, I missed my deadline last week. First time in 4 years. I did not put out a Monday podcast. I was very disappointed. I got the file from Just for Laughs for that live podcast about suicide, and they gave it to me in MP3 form, and every time I tried to upload it and mix it with the intro, the audio got completely fucked and I just couldn't get it. And then I'm sitting there and I'm trying to go out on Sunday to go see. It's Windy Weekend. It's Windy City Weekend. Don Barris' Windy City Heat. If you've never seen that movie, you got to fucking see it. It's one of the best cult movies of all time. I mean, go illegally download it. It might be available on iTunes. It might be available on Amazon, Netflix, but find it. Find Windy City Heat. It's so fucking cool and hilarious. Johnny Knoxville calls it one of his favorite movies. Eminem calls it one of his favorite movies. And he had a Windy City Weekend where they were going to have a whole get-together, and I had to work for most of it. We were doing the intros for the for This Is Not Happening, for the new season, which went great, by the way. And then I was trying to get over there on Monday for the Ding Dong Show. And I'm trying and trying and trying and working on this podcast. And I put it up on Sunday, and I had to get there late on Sunday and miss the show on Sunday. And then I'm trying to, because it got fucked. The fucking file got fucked. And I'm trying to update it. And Dan Soder's in town, and Big J's in town. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, meet me at the Comedy Store. We're going to watch Windy City Weekend. We're going to watch a Ding Dong Show and fucking enjoy ourselves. And I'm sitting there at this Airbnb in Echo Park working on this file to try to get it up. And I'm missing my social life. I'm in town. I'm in LA visiting my home and my friends for a few days. Most of the time I had to work and I had 3 days off. And then I had to text them back and saying, I'm not going to be there for a couple hours. I got to work on this corrupted file. And I worked and worked and worked for hours, and I missed my whole social life. And eventually 12:30 rolled around, and I had no idea how to fix it, and I left. I just said, fuck it, and I left. And I missed the date. I missed the deadline. 4+ years of every Monday, and I finally missed one. I couldn't figure it out. Nothing I tried could figure out. Eventually, the next day, I gave it another look, and if I uploaded it to stereo instead of mono, it became okay. Still sounded a little tinny for the live part, for the part that was in front of a live audience, but it was pretty good. And then my intro was only in one ear instead of the other. So if you're listening on headphones, it only came in one ear. So you had to put them both in. But the point is, I missed it. I missed the deadline. And it felt bad. But it got me thinking. Because I had this responsibility. I had this responsibility to put this podcast every Monday. And I miss this social life over. I miss hanging out with Dan Soder and Big J. And seeing Steve Simone and all my friends at the Comedy Store. And seeing the fucking Ding Dong Show on Windy Weekend. And I realized that this has become a responsibility. It's one of my responsibilities. And I don't want that. I don't want a responsibility. So I am very sorry that I missed the deadline. I got it up on Tuesday. People still heard it. Most people listen to it. If I put up a whole new episode too. If you've got a corrupted file, delete it and then re-download it, or go to my website, arithegreat.com. You can click on it right there. What I took away from it is this. I'm not going to do this podcast forever. It's coming to a close. I don't know when. I'm going to keep doing it for a while, but you should expect me to start missing Mondays here or there. I don't want to, but I've got to live my life. I've got like 3 more episodes, maybe 2 more episodes. I've got a decent one for Halloween week. But I've got like 2 more episodes in the bank, and I'm on the road. I'm gone. I'm with comics that I don't know. I'm with people I don't know, so I don't know their stories. I don't know how to find them. And I want to enjoy my life, and I've got all this editing to do for This Is Not Happening. I mean, it's like nonstop editing for the next few months. And I'm not going to be back until November 8th, and I'm going to run out of podcast episodes, and I'll maybe figure something out. But the point is, I'll eventually be out of these, and I'm going to miss them. The first ones you should expect me to miss are Christmas week. Nobody listens to those. Those always get half the downloads. So Christmas and New Year's will probably take off. And then I'm going to just do it intermittently, I think. I don't see another way around it. I don't see another way around it. To not live my life, to not have a good time, to miss the social. I mean, I don't see my friends like all year. And then I get to see them and I miss it so that I can get this podcast up on the right time. It's just, it's not what I want from my life. That's why I'm not going to be touring anymore after this special. It's just, I will eventually, but at least for a year afterwards. I might just do some music festivals and that's it. And I will be doing Scotland. I will be doing Edinburgh again. I'll be doing my hour there. But, I mean, I want my life back. So I'm going to get it back. And I'm sorry if I don't have a podcast up every Monday. And the people who complain about not being up on time, well, this will just be easier for you, I guess. And the people who loved it every Monday, I'm sorry. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't keep up the pace. It's been 4 years, no break. So I'm still going to put my heart into it. Every time I do one, I'm still going to try to make it the best I can. But they're not going to be as regular, I think. We'll see. You know, maybe I'll change my mind. I went to this David Bowie exhibit in Melbourne, which was amazing. It was amazing. Man, it was inspiring. The way he put all the fucking eggs into this artistic basket, like mixing theater and costuming and art with his music. It's tremendous. The guy's so thought out. But there's a couple times where he goes, I'm done. I'm done. There's no more albums. I'm not putting out any more albums. And then he did put out another album. Or he said, I'm done touring. And then he did keep touring. But he also said he was done with Ziggy Stardust. He announced on stage, he goes, not only is this the last stop on the tour, but it's the last show we'll ever do. He surprised his band. Totally coked up. Told him, that's it. On stage. That's it. No more Ziggy Stardust. Bye, band. And he held true to that. So I have no idea. But my thought right now is that I can't do this every week anymore. I can't. I'm in Brisbane right now. I'm in Brisbane, Australia right now. And instead of being out, looking at stuff, looking at the fucking gardens before it gets too hot, I'm in a hotel room doing this podcast for you guys. No, I shouldn't say it like that. It's not for you. It's for me. It's so you guys come see my shows. And it's worked. Sold out run in Australia. It's been amazing so far. So I don't know. We'll see. But it's getting too much. But right now it's not. Right now we got a great podcast with Carl Donnelly called DMT. Anyway, check out his website, carldonnelly.co.uk. If you type in carldonnelly.co.uk/live, you can get all his live dates. He's going to be in a bunch of places coming up. Dublin this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Gateway, Ireland on Sunday. Wow, the next week in Ireland too. Fuck, these UK comics get to go everywhere. London in November, Birmingham, London, Manchester, fucking Spain in November. London, Manchester, Edinburgh again in December. Damn. Different countries. Oh wait, what am I talking about? I'm in fucking Australia right now. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. I forget what else I have to promote, but fuck it. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Think, episode 241. DMT with Carl Donnelly. It's a good episode. Very informative. Here we go, starting now. I'll take your brain to another dimension. I'll take your brain to another dimension. I'll take your brain to another dimension. Pay close attention. I'll take your brain to another dimension. I'll take your brain to another dimension. I'll take your brain to another dimension. Pay close attention.
As we start, let me blow my nose. I haven't had one where you just start with a good nose blowing.
Yeah,
so right into it.
I've got the sort of post very late nights. So every part of my body's just sort of.
How long did you stay up last night?
I probably finished at about 6 a.m.
Really?
Yeah,
that's a good one.
It was pretty.
When you see it's like fully light. I've had a couple of those days.
Daylight, yeah. It was, and it really was one of them nights that wasn't unplanned. Like, yeah. I just finished my show.
Yeah, that's how they are. Yeah.
Comedian Jimmy McGee just went for a quiet drink, and next thing you know, it was 6 a.m., and we were just pissed.
People get so drunk here. Mm. I feel like my tolerance has gone up, too.
But if by the end of the month, if you drink every day at the Fringe, which I have done so far,
yeah, I think I was going to say, no beer today. And then someone's like, you want a beer? I was like, yeah. Okay, fine.
Your tolerance is amazing. I once went on a stag do. What do you call them in America?
Bachelor party.
Bachelor party. I once went on one the weekend after the Fringe with all my friends. Mm-hmm. And we flew to Estonia for it.
Really?
And we started drinking at the airport at 10 a.m. on a Friday morning.
Yeah.
And by sort of, 9 p.m. in Estonia, my friends were all just passing out because I'd just come off the back of the Fringe. You're
shaking. I'm like, come on, guys.
I went right through to like 5 a.m.
It's crazy. One night I went home early, and early was like 2:30.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to go. And Reese was like, okay, you can go. It's 2:30. It's fine. And then I got home, and Ahir's parents, his old Indian parents, were staying with us. And they were all, he was like, we're drinking with my parents. And I was like, okay, we just stayed in the kitchen till like 5. Like, I'm trying to call it.
Yeah, it's hard to end a night here. Like, yeah. Leaving any of the late sort of performer bars normally takes about 40 minutes just to
say goodbye as you go out.
And every time you go to move, you meet somebody else you haven't seen.
Yeah, yeah, that's a crazy thing with so many people here. It's like,
yeah,
I just haven't seen a few people that I'm friends with.
Yeah, can I just, it's just so many people to.
I didn't see Michael Che at all.
No, is he still here?
No, he left.
Oh, okay.
He left the morning he was supposed to do my show. I knew he was going to cancel. I knew he was. He said he had gotten to a flight at the Pleasance, and I was like, don't cancel my fucking show. Oh, and he's like, I won't. And then he did.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing it, by the way. You did really good.
Oh, cheers, man. It was good fun.
Yeah, it was. You know, that guy's suing.
Oh, I've heard this.
Yeah.
What is he suing for?
I don't know. He showed a couple, like, Article 34-4 that I violated that. He showed a couple of them.
Really?
Somebody said he's like a professional sewer.
Oh, God. I didn't think we had those over here. I've heard that, in America, they've got quite a high...
Yeah, not for comedy,
sort of,
though.
Sort of legal.
Only if you get hurt. If you burn yourself on your coffee you get at McDonald's.
Right.
That's a sue.
Really?
Yeah, anything you can. I think
here it's a lot more...
What?
I think here, valid? If you burn yourself on a coffee, 9 times out of 10, they'll say, well, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Rather than,
why did you spill
money?
It? Yeah. Why did you keep it in your lap while you were driving down a dirt road? That's the key weakness of a coffee cup.
Yeah.
It's gravity. I feel like everybody's gonna get sick next week here.
Everyone?
Yeah. Or no?
Yeah. I mean, I think after the festival, once you sort of that, your body realizes it can break down, it does.
Yeah.
That's what I've had. Yeah, I've had to go into like hibernation for 4 days after this Fringe before, where my body was so dead that I didn't realize it until the day after the festival that I just went into a sort of meltdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had to die. I remember last year I stayed in bed for 3 days watching True Detective and loads of other shows just because I just had to
catch up.
Yeah, just to recoup.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, okay, before I go on, I'll try to, I forget this all the time till the end. Carl Donnelly has a podcast called Carl Donnelly and Chris Martin Podcast.
Yep.
Or is it vice versa?
It's a Carl Donnelly and Chris Martin comedy podcast.
Okay, it's on all things comedy.
It's on all things comedy. I think we're the only Brits on it.
You might be. I didn't know we went across the pond.
I don't know why we're on there. Literally no reason.
We're going somewhere. We are going somewhere. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, we're just, I don't know, trying to have some cross pollination.
Yeah.
But ours is just, I mean, has yours got any sort of theme?
Yeah, I to pick a topic every time.
Oh, cool.
And then I just flesh out the topic.
Wicked.
So with some sort of expert.
Yep.
So. That's my today.
Let's do this.
Yeah. When I met you, I met Ian Sterling first.
Yeah.
And he was like, we were just talking a little bit. And he's like, what's your plans out here? I'm like, oh, I'm going to take mushrooms, probably go to the Highlands or something. He goes, oh, you got to meet Carl Donnelly.
That is my, I like that. It's weird. I've very rarely talk about it on stage.
Like, yeah.
I've told a story. I've told one mushroom story on stage ever in my 10 years of stand-up. I've told one story about trying to brew ayahuasca at home on my own.
Yeah.
But other than that, I've never ever talked on stage about sort of any of that sort of. But for some reason,
brewed ayahuasca
at home. Yeah,
how do you do that?
Well, it didn't work.
Oh,
well, I mean, it didn't work. It made us vomit loads for about 4 hours.
Did you still get fucked up, or was
a little bit? It would dip in and out. It was really weird. Like, because we got all the right ingredients, we followed all the instructions.
Did you make it in your bathtub or in like
no,
a pot?
Like big pots in a kitchen, and we followed it to the letter, but. Something must have gone wrong because we never fully got to the peak. What we did was, just as we were getting there, we threw up the most.
Really?
It was the most aggressive vomit I've ever done.
As you were getting like super hot?
Just as it was starting to kick in.
Whoa.
Then I just had to run to the toilet and just get sick. And it just carried
over and
on.
Over?
Yeah. It was the most so aggressive. But yeah. But so obviously, I don't really talk about it on stage, but for some reason, like my people just...
Your friends know.
Everyone, yeah. But they, like, I think I've got a bigger reputation for it than is... like true
my friend took, he had that same problem on, there's some like dick pill, but like a natural one, like yerba or something or some other. And he said he tried one of those and he was throwing up for like 6 hours with a boner.
He was the worst.
Like, yeah. He couldn't even lie in his stomach. Yeah. Yeah, I guess everybody just knows about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody knows who the drug addicts are or the drug connoisseurs. Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's that thing where, you know, drugs are quite rife in entertainment. Yeah. But I mean, but everyone, you know, you probably make the assumption that most people do coke and stuff like that. But I suppose if you do anything that's slightly more, you know, more
adventurous,
yeah, then maybe, and you mention it to somebody, maybe it's a little stick in their mind more.
Oh yeah, maybe. Especially guys like Ian was like, I've never taken mushrooms.
Yeah,
so to Ian, him, that seems like all of it seems like an adventure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's the thing. I still, you know, you still meet a lot of people who are terrified of any sort of hallucinogen.
Yeah,
think of it as.
Oh yeah,
because yeah, because they probably, you know, I know people that have had them once and then thought that is never going to happen again.
Really?
Like, yeah, totally. I know loads of people have.
At least if they've taken it once, I'll be like, okay, you're making an informed decision.
Yeah.
The people who go like, that wouldn't be for me. It's like based on what knowledge of it.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's like, you know, you can't. I mean, at the same time, there are certain people I would recommend not to ever try them.
Who?
Just some like Ian Sterling.
Really?
Well, no. But some people I don't think have the sort of, you know,
let go ofness.
Yeah, I think Ian likes to get drunk now and again and that. But I don't think he's.
Man, he does.
He's too. I don't think he likes. You know, he'd enjoy letting go that much with that.
They'd give you no choice after a while.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Some people will spin out. Some people can't deal with that.
Trying to control it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you tell people. Because only I've done that too, where I fight against it, you know? And then I tell people, just like, let it go. But yeah, like, you can't let it go, you know? It's like saying, don't hold on to your straps when you're on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You'd be like, that's counterintuitive.
Yeah. But then, yeah, that's the thing. I think sometimes you just got, yeah. If you can, just go with it.
And so what are you taking hallucinogen-wise?
Hallucinogen-wise.
The ayahuasca brewed?
Ayahuasca, which was a home brew.
How long did it take to make them first?
It was about 8 hours.
Really?
It was ridiculous. And I'm like, and the thing is, I was meant to do it with my friend, but I couldn't make it in the end, so he had to brew it all on his own. So I was just getting phone calls, updates from him. He was brewing all this, and like he followed the ingredients and the instructions down to the letter, like to the point that he was talking to it and he was playing it music. And
really?
Yeah, you're meant to do it as a sort of ceremony. So he was just in his kitchen,
just doing that too,
North London, just talking to some pots of tea, and he did it for like 8 hours, and then we let it settle, and then 2 days later we warmed it up again and downed it. And I mean, we drank. I mean, I think what might have done it as well is we drank like a pint of it each.
And that's way too much. I've never done ayahuasca.
I think, well, from what I've watched of documentaries and things with the shamans, they always just give them a little sip, you know, a little sort of almost shot glass, or you know, and you drink that, and then after about half an hour, you might drink another one. You sort of just keep topping up.
Yeah.
Whereas I think we just downed a pint.
You had no shaman.
No, we didn't have a shaman, and we downed it like it was a cocktail. So.
My friend did that in Amsterdam. He said he had. Mushrooms, he didn't like it. I was like, what happened? He goes, 20 tried grams, and it was really terrible. I was like, you had 20? Oh yeah, man.
Yeah,
no, that's way too much.
I did that. The first time I ever did strong mushrooms was in Amsterdam, and it was me and my friends. There was four of us, and we went and we bought some nice mild sort of chilled out mushrooms, and we had like a pack each, which was a lot because they were mild. It was fine.
Yeah.
But after about an hour, they were kicking in, but they just were too mild. So out of the four of us, two of us were like, this is boring. We need to up our game. The other two were like quite happy to go with what was happening. So me and my friend went over to a head shop and just said to them, like, excuse me, what's your strongest mushrooms? And he pulled out these truffle type ones. I think they were called Philosopher's Stones, which were the strongest.
Yeah,
at the time, they were the strongest there. I think there's way more stronger ones now. And he put them down and we were like, right, how much are you meant to take? And he was like, well, you don't want to do more than half a pack. And he said to us, like, have you done mushrooms before? And I said, yeah, about an hour ago. And he thought it was a joke, so he laughed. And then we bought two packs. And we just went back and we ate a pack each.
What?
And it was just, that was the closest I've ever been to a bad trip.
You do not follow directions.
No, not at all. But normally I do. It's just I've had occasions where I've done it wrong.
What do you mean close to a bad trip? What does that mean?
Well, it was out of the four of us, like me and my friend who took really strong ones, and a lot of them, he had a really bad trip. Like he spun out, got quite aggressive, ended up getting fully naked and just pissing in the middle of the room, and he just went off the rails and started shouting us, and So he kept just repeating. At one point, he sat in the corner just repeating it to himself. He kept going, "It's always been about me. It's always been all about me."
What was he thinking
just,
about?
I don't know. In the end, and when he just pissed, we had to go and put him in the shower naked and sort of hose him down. So I think having to look after him kept me just like, you know, conscious enough that I never let it go into the bad.
I hate having to look after people.
Yeah, I know, I hate it as well, especially when you're trying to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I was having bad moments as well. I was like, you know, there was times where it got a bit too much. Some of the sort of, you know, the way my friends' faces were changing right in front of me and that sort of thing.
Man.
Yeah, it was real. They were real visuals.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, a lot of times the mushrooms, I just get like swims, you know?
Yeah.
Never like real changes in reality.
No, but that was, they were full on.
Wow.
There was times when it was a different world.
I just let people go. I was doing it with this comic, Byron Bowers. It was like 10 of us in Joshua Tree last year.
Yeah.
And he was like, "I gotta wander off for a while." And people are like, no, we gotta watch you. I'm like, guys, no, let him wander off.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
fine. There's nothing out there. He'll just be back.
Yeah.
And he comes back in 3 hours and you're like, cool.
Well, that's what I like. That's the reason I think, you know, I think most drugs are boring. You know, on the whole, like people, you know, I think they're quite immature. Like, you know, I remember when I was younger, you know, thinking, you know, I was 18 and somebody first gave me a line of coke and I was all excited. And it's just, but yeah, they don't do anything really. Do you know what I mean? They just make you stay up longer. So
yeah.
That's why I think, you know, when I first started doing hallucinogens, and I haven't done any in quite a long time. I dip in and out now and again just to remind myself.
Yeah.
What I liked about the first time I did acid, I just couldn't believe how much fun I could have on my own. Because me and my friend did it, but then I just, you know, there's periods where we just went off on our own because we wanted to.
Yeah.
And just found this amazing like place to sit and just see what's happening. And
yeah, you always find some crazy place.
Oh, God.
Something like pop up and you're like, oh, wow.
One of the best moments I can recall was I went camping with friends about 4 years ago. And it was like a really lovely place in the middle of nowhere. And me and my friend took a lot, actually. I think we took 2.5 tabs off the bat.
Two
and a half.
Damn, bro.
And about 45 minutes in, it started kicking in hard. And about an hour in, we were both in pieces. For about another 45 minutes, we just couldn't really do anything. We were just rolling around the grass, just laughing. And but then once it settled,
yeah.
It was when we actually could start doing stuff.
Getting up.
And it was about sort of 7 p.m., and I just wandered off into the woods, and I found this sort of trail that went down, and it got to a big fence, and I just climbed the fence, probably dangerous. But over the other side, I walked down through the woods, and I just found this massive lake, and I just sat on the edge of the lake, and it was just swans and all different ducks swimming around. And I sat there as the sun went down, and the moment it got fully dark, about 10,000 bats suddenly flew out of like a cave. And all just started flying around me, like, because it had just got dark. So I just sat totally still
and let bats fly
around my head. And just, I think if I was not on acid, I would have been terrified.
Yeah,
but
especially bats.
I could feel them like within sort of, you know,
really?
Hair's breath of me, like just going past my face. And I just sat there and just for about 20 minutes, and had this amazing sort of moment. And that's what I like about acid, is that them sort of things
happen.
Yeah, not just happen, but you can appreciate them.
Yeah, I'm more of a shroom head than an acid head.
Right.
So I've done acid a few times, but it's not like I don't know it well enough.
Because I think acids, I find it's more...
People go both ways on this. Some people go like, oh, for sure acid's more natural or more like...
Mine's not
manageable.
It, yeah.
And then other people go like, no, mushrooms are more manageable.
I just found with mushrooms, the really hardcore ones are crazy, but I always find with like the more mild ones, I never get
where you want to go.
Just always find it just stops short of what I'm expecting.
I've had that a few times, but then my friend, this girl who runs Creek in the Cave in New York,
right,
some club, she was like, okay. Oh yeah, we're not normal anymore. You've taken too much, you gotta take like a shitload more.
Yeah,
it's like having a shot of whiskey and expecting to get drunk.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, maybe that's
but acid with just hits you right.
Yeah, if you get the right acid, you know. And you also, that you can tell if it's just microdots.
Yeah.
You know, once you sort of, if you do one, that is how strong, you know how strong that is. And you can just go next time to decide, right.
It's the same thing.
Where we do, yeah, if I want that, I'll just do one. If I want this, I'm going to do
Does
two.
Does it matter if you're on a full stomach or empty stomach or anything like mushrooms?
Yeah, I think you probably shouldn't. I think it normally kicks in a bit slower if you're on a full stomach.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's that thing as well with, I think, yeah, the most I've ever done off the bat is 3 tabs.
Damn.
And that is...
Oh, yeah, but I've heard stories of people doing eight and stuff like that. You know, if you really...
Yeah, but those are pros.
Yeah, I suppose. But I can't, but I genuinely cannot understand how they could do eight. So I did three off the bat, and it was, there was periods where I was like, I'm never coming back from this.
I went, took one and then went to see The Wall. They were playing at Staples Center for like 8 days. Yeah. My friend Joey Diaz went, and but we went the last day. Everything was sold out. And then we like couldn't get tickets. We thought we'd scalp tickets. Like, why did we wait till the last day to do this?
Yeah.
And then people would come up to us like, oh, you're going to the show? And we're like, we can't talk to you right
this
now.
This is it. Yeah. I always have that thing of, yeah. I think last time I did it was, it could have been 6 months ago last time I did acid, or maybe 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Me and my friend had an amazing day of it where... I think we just took two, and that was it for the day. We weren't going to take any more. Just two in the morning, and like 10 a.m. Get up, have a smoothie, do two, and then just see where the day goes. And there was amazing moments, like where, you know, we're sitting out in the garden, just listening to music. But then I remember thinking
that's all nice.
I think I was thinking, I'm in a good enough state now that I can go to the shop to buy a snack.
Yeah.
And I was all good. And then I went to the shop, and I picked up whatever I wanted, I put it on the counter. And he said the price, and then the time it took me to just to get money out of my pocket, give it to him, like it felt like it had taken me 10 minutes. I did it in real time, but in my head, I was feeling every second like in 10 times slower than it was. And the worst one was when I gave him the money, he started getting my change together. And I think I went through every idea of how I'm going to hold my hand out when he gives me my change.
what shape does
my hand need to be in? And because normally you just put your hand out and take your change, but because everything has slowed down, the moment I was there, I was like, I'm not ready to be out of the house. This is too...
It's the waves. That's the problem. I'm good now, but it's like, no, we're just on a down wave. We're about to go back up again. Yeah. I had once, me and Big J ordered a pizza at the end of a mushroom ship, but still fucking swimming and stuff. The guy showed up. And when it's a new currency, especially when I'm tripping out, I'm just like, I just pulled out a bunch of bills and just like, how much of this do you need? He like gave me some back.
Yeah. It's funny. Me and my flatmate, again, this was probably the same sort of period of time, about 6 months ago, 9 months ago. We had another day. I remember for some reason I did it. I hadn't done it in a while, and I did it twice in like 4 days. I just had a period, bit of time off. And we took it, and we had a lovely day. And in the afternoon, we were like, we're ready to go out. Yeah. We decided to go to a Hindu temple. There's the biggest Hindu temple in, might even be Europe, is about a 40-minute walk from my house.
In London?
Yeah, it's beautiful, massive sort of marble building.
It seems like the right place to go.
That's it. And I'd never been inside, so I was like, let's walk there and just walk around. You know, just we can do this. And then we started walking towards it. And we only realised about 10 minutes into the walk that we looked like the most suspicious men alive. Like, we both had like hats and hoods and sunglasses. We'd put headphones in, so we weren't talking. We were just walking side by side. We looked insane. And the moment we sort of caught sight of each other, we just laughed to the point where we like took everything off and was like, right, let's actually look normal. But then when we got there, it was amazing just walking around.
You tried to look like monks?
Well, yeah, I don't know what we were doing. We were like, we need to blend in with society. But then what we'd actually done was just separate so much stuff on us.
Yeah. So when did you get into DMT? Like, who introduced you to it?
DMT was, I got given some by a guy who was a guy who used to get acid off like 5-6 years ago.
Or a buddy?
No, he's a dealer.
Okay.
But he's not a dealer. He's a weird, you know, like, again, he's not like a drug dealer. He doesn't sell anything that isn't like a hallucinogen.
Oh, really?
You
know, he specializes?
He's not this shady guy who, you know, sort of you have to meet in an alley and he's sort of, yeah, do you want some cork? He's just this sort of weird, he like dabbles in music production, but not obviously not to a professional level.
Yeah.
He just sits in his room basically, you know, and then he just gets hold of like, you know, weird hallucinogens.
Buys a shitload, then sells them off.
Yeah. And so he was the one who basically was the first person who told me about it. I'd never heard of it. And then when he mentioned it to me, he said he was...
Most people haven't heard of it.
No.
It's weird.
So he said he was going to get some. And I just went off and like read a bit about it, and it just sounded fascinating. I was like, how have I not heard of this? And how no one ever talked to me about this?
Yeah.
And then next time I spoke to him, he'd done it. And said, like, he said,
who's done it?
The guy who was was selling the other stuff. And he's a pretty hard going guy. He said to me, I'm never doing it again.
Really?
He goes, it was so intense. He said, but if you want some,
You can have this stuff. So I got it off
him. And you were like, from what it sounds like, you're like, yeah, that's the kind I was like, want.
Well, just the moment he said that, I was like, I need to try this now.
Yeah.
And I got it off him. And I remember me and my friend had planned to do it together. But do you know when you sort of, I mean, we weren't going to do it for a couple of weeks. So yeah. I could just feel it.
You just needed to do it. I could
feel it sort of like a beacon in, you know, in my room.
Yeah.
So one night I got home from a gig and I was on my own and I just thought, I'm doing it. So lights down, put some music on, you know, I built.
What'd you put on? Do you know?
I do. I'll tell you, this is the thing that creeped me out. Not creeped me out the most, but I was flicking through, I had a playlist of like chilled out stuff and it's such a cliche, but I remember having the bong and that ready. And as I was about to do it, I shuffled and The End by The Doors came on.
This is the...
11 nice. Minutes, that song. So, and I thought, this is a good one.
That's the whole trip.
Yeah, well, I smoked that DMT. I have no idea what I was going to experience. I'd read a bit about it, but you can't really, you know, have any idea until you do it. And I just, it felt like my soul had been sucked out and thrown off into the, you know, wherever. And I just went on this crazy trip. I had no idea where I was. Lost all contact with my body.
How long do you think, not in real time, but in their time, how long do you think you were gone?
It felt like I was gone for weeks, I reckon. I remember coming back and thinking, like as I sort of regained consciousness, I remember thinking, I have been gone for so long. I wonder what people are thinking. And then, as I became more sort of compos mentis, I remember hearing The End. And I was like, what? And I looked up and there was about a minute and a half left of the song.
Wow.
So I'd been gone for maximum 9 minutes.
But it feels like completely gone.
Oh, I thought I had been gone forever.
That's a breakthrough.
Yeah, it was, and that was the first time I'd ever done it and I totally had the full experience.
Wow.
And weirdly, other times, I reckon, since times I've done it since, I reckon I'd probably break through one in three times.
One in three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it once and I did it with a girl and she was like, I mean, we died. And I was like, I didn't. I was still in my backyard.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, some stuff was happening, but it wasn't like I was gone.
Yeah, it's not. Sometimes it just feels like some crazy shit's happening, but you can still sort of hear what's going on
mm-hmm.
in the real world.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just
the sound sort of went away a little bit. It was like, rrr, 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 yeah, and then the sound kind of went away. I got it from a guy in San Francisco.
Right.
And same thing. Like, it was calling for me for a while, but then I was like, no, let me wait for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to do it again.
Well, that's it. It's one. That's what I like about it. It's a challenge that, and you know, you don't know if it's going to work or not.
Yeah.
And you don't know what's going to happen every time.
Have you ever gone right back into it again? Like taken it, gone back, and then said,
"Yeah." But only I've done it.
How many times have you done it?
I've not done it loads. I've probably done it maybe 10, 15 times.
Okay.
Which is probably loads.
That's loads for people that have never done. Yeah. Yeah. I know a guy who was like, did it like, and told everybody about, like, he told our whole circle about it, and he had done it like two times.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I've, out of them times, like I said, probably four or five times I've had to full on.
So what happens when you go, when you're like full on? Like, how does it start?
It's a weird one because I know some people find it really easy to describe. Don't know. I do recall having a feeling that I was somewhere I shouldn't be.
Should not be?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the first time that happened, I just didn't know where I was, couldn't work it out. I just could feel that this sort of air of, you ain't meant to be here, mate. Not in a bad, not in a, like, an angry sort of feeling, but it was sort of like... From outward.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it wasn't me saying it to me. It felt like something was saying, like, this isn't really where you're meant
to be.
Like
when you're a black person in Little Italy.
Yeah. Just very outward.
Yeah, like, everyone's saying, you shouldn't be here right now. Yeah.
That's what it was. It just felt like something was saying, look, not that you're not allowed to, but it's just like, this isn't really where you're meant to be. So you should probably nip back to where you came from.
Really?
Yeah.
And then did you? Could you leave? Like, where were you?
I don't know. And I do remember one time that happening, and I sort of felt like I was all right. I'm going to nip back to the real world, and then getting sucked back.
Further
so I
in.
Just sort of yeah. So it felt like I'd come out and gone back in. It's the only time that's only ever happened once.
You fully came out and then
not like to the point of opening my eyes, but I felt like I was coming back to consciousness and then went back off again.
Wow.
And that was a weird one.
So what happens when you're there? You, I know it's hard to describe. This is the way I'm with mushrooms too, where people are like, you find like the truth in all things, and then like the first couple of times you're like, oh, I could have told you right when I was still in it, but now it's gone.
But, it's more and more, then I start to bring stuff back. Yeah, it's. I mean, it sounds. This is the thing, because that's why I'm interested in it, because I don't. I'm a very sort of agnostic person. I don't really believe anything.
Agnostic is fucking bisexuality. religion.
Yeah.
You can make up your mind.
No, but I can't make up my mind because I don't know. Like the things I've sort of like. I mean, I'm trying to describe it. I've had times on DMT where it felt like I've gone through somewhere and then been at like a sort of fun fair, and it's all just crazy rides, and I'm just walking around, and all these like sort of weird big clowns are sort of looking at me going,
really?
Yeah, I've had that happen once. And I was just like, what is this?
Different than the other times.
Yeah, other times it just feels like I can't see anything. I can just feel like I'm somewhere else. And there's just a sort of like, you know, voices and things saying like, you know, can you go away?
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think it's like, it's another like, are you going to another dimension or something?
I don't know. This is the thing. I can't commit to saying that is what it is.
Because it sounds,
it could just be, you know, I've had dreams that are like that.
So right.
You know,
you're not actually gone.
Yeah. So if you want to say that.
It feels like though, it's like if you're going to, you ever see Fringe? The show Fringe?
No.
Well, they cross to different dimensions, whatever. But like if you cross in a different spot, then you end up in a different spot. You know, like if I cross right here, it would be different than if I crossed on Arthur's seat.
Yeah.
So like, oh, I wound up in a circus, or, oh, I wound up in the middle of a business meeting.
Yeah. But that's the thing. That's why I don't like people that just say, oh, it's just all in your head, because they haven't experienced
that. It's tough either way.
But I also, I'm not going to just flat out say it. I genuinely did experience another reality.
Yeah.
Because if it can't be.
Can we take a break real quick?
Quantified.
Look at that guy's comb over. The guy,
which right one?
That bald one. And it's flying off to the left. His whole tufted up hair is like flying, leaving him bald. Anyway, sorry. I'm so distracted by that. It was like a full head of hair, then all of a sudden it was up. The people who say...
I don't like people that are just categorically one side or the other. I like to float around the middle and say, I've experienced this. It could have been that. Maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, the idea that it's like, when people go like, I know what it is. It's just your brain doing this. Like, okay. But there's also like shared experience.
Yeah.
Like when people do salvia, they all experience the same like colors and things like that. But then, you know, everyone who takes aspirin experiences the same thing too.
Yeah.
That's not supernatural. Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, that's the thing. It's hard. I know somebody who did DMT and were like, that was such a laugh. I just had they were just sort of, they didn't experience any of the profound effects.
Really?
All they experienced was like a real intense 10-minute trip.
Oh.
And to them, it was like, oh, that was good fun. I won't say his name, but there's a comedian who I was fascinated by. I talked to him about it. He was like, I want to try it. So I gave him some. I did it with him. I sat with him.
Yeah.
And he came out of it, and he didn't get a profound effect. He said it was amazing what he was sort of seeing. It was like kaleidoscopes and all that things. But then he just said he had one period where all he saw was just tits everywhere. Just tit, like kaleidoscope of tits. So he had no profound thing. He just said, it was really nice. I just get to sort of got a load of tits. So that's what I mean. I think it's partly to do with your own headspace.
Yeah.
And what your own experiences leading up to that point.
Do you see a lot of shapes and stuff? That's what I saw. So it was, imagine under a tree, and then I sort of saw like what looked like caterpillars about the size of the zoom, maybe double.
Yeah.
And with the big like not pentagon, I don't know, five-sided heads sort of like looking, but then that was it. Yeah.
But that's because
crawling on the branches, and then that.
Have you had normally when you first do it, it feels, do you ever get to that thing when you go through that sort of kaleidoscope thing?
Mm-mm.
See, that's what I've. That's the one thing that's been pretty much uniform every time.
You go through a kaleidoscope.
What it feels like, that's the feeling of like being sucked out. That's what I always. I sounded dirtier than I meant, but
sucked out is a great new term.
Just tits everywhere.
sucked out.
I mean, like that feeling of like as if something your mind's being sort of dragged away.
Yeah,
I always have that feeling that I'm being
pulled,
dragged through. And it is like
against your own volition, just somebody else pulling you.
Yeah, I've got no control over it. It's just I'm off. It's like a sort of launch pad type thing.
Yeah.
And it always feels like I've gone through some sort of kaleidoscopic thing. It always is a lot of like just colours and shapes and stuff as I go through that.
Yeah.
But that's the one, weirdly, that's the thing that happens every time. But what happens after that, if anything, the times where it doesn't...
What's a kaleidoscope, the thing you go like
So that's what it's sort of like. And again, that's a weird thing, because why is that? Anyone who's ever done a trip always says they see like kaleidoscopes.
Yeah, that's weird.
So that is why I don't know, you know, is that just something that's in our brain chemistry, or is it...
That it brings that out of you, or is it like, no, this is the passageway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh. Shroomfest is always like, we have a mushroom holiday.
Right.
That's this weekend.
Oh, right.
Which is why we should all be taking mushrooms and going somewhere. Sunday night? I think Sunday night would be the time to do it.
I would definitely do that.
Yeah. To me, I'm like, look, I don't know about this like connecting to another plane, but if you believe on that, then there's people all over the world doing them for the same reason together.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I know. There's no real... People think you're crazy if you are into that sort of stuff, but it's no crazier than most beliefs, is it?
Yeah. Also, it's not like...
Confirm it, then you're crazy, essentially.
It's not like a complete leap of faith. It's like based on some sort of visual or something you're seeing or feeling. Yeah. It's not like... Not crazy is just having the thoughts out of nowhere.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of religious people have never had a religious experience.
I try to get my Orthodox Jewish, he's a rabbi now in Israel.
Yeah.
And we grew up together and he's like real religious, but still normal. We can talk.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got to do mushrooms, man. And he's like, it's never going to happen, Ari. I'm a Jewish like rabbi. I can't.
Why?
And I was like,
argument?
God gave you the mushrooms. Are you saying he didn't give you something on like, what do you mean?
And what was his?
He was just like, no way, I would get fired. I was like, well, that may be.
Yeah, if you tell people.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a part of him that'd be worried that he'd have an experience that would make him question
maybe,
his faith?
Maybe. Or just everything in life. Like, maybe I'll divorce my wife and, like, what do I...
This is the thing. I think... That's because I think when I got into, like, DMT,
uh-huh.
that was... that I think...
Was that pre-marriage?
That was pre-end of my marriage.
Okay.
I do think it affected my decisions moving forward.
Yeah.
I think, it made me sort of see where the problems were in my life. Suddenly I had this weird... I don't know, maybe it gave me a little awareness of like, you know, I was just sort of coasting along and not really getting things sorted that were just bothering me.
It does help bring it out.
Yeah, like I went vegan after... I went vegan.
Damn, now that's crazy.
Yeah, and that wasn't... It wasn't... I had this sort of, you know, voice telling me to go vegan. It just weirdly... When I used to... You know, I used to eat meat. I didn't... I was quite a reluctant meat eater. I just ate it because I was lazy.
Yeah.
But after sort of getting into DMT for the first couple of times, every time I'd eat meat, I'd get more guilt and more guilt.
It would about
build
what?
And build. Just
animals?
About feeling like I shouldn't have been... eating it. And it's not... I'm not an animal rights activist or anything. It just felt like every time I put it in my mouth, part of me, there was sort of almost a physical reaction that was like, that shouldn't be going in there.
Did you connect to the living organism of the animal?
Maybe. It's just that feeling of like, they, you know, I'm not that different to them. So I genuinely put that down to DMT.
That's how I do after mushrooms. I end up giving much of money to homeless people.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, you just got a different drug than I did.
Yeah.
That's not your fault. That's just your friends when you were little.
Yeah.
I'm lucky. You know, your friends were into heroin, my friends were into shrooms. I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just, I think it did change my outlook. So,
and what did you look at in your relationship?
Well, I think it was just on the, you know, I don't think it was right. I don't think it was a right relationship. I think for neither of us, but yeah. I don't think either of us had that moment of going, we're not meant to be here. We should both probably...
Right,
elsewhere.
Man. There's some people that just stay in shit. It's bad.
Well, that's
the thing. Like, you just status quo is the most easy thing to maintain.
Oh, totally. But it's also like, yeah, it eats you up inside. But you can ride that out. You know?
Yeah, you can cover it.
I'm from an Irish family, so I know that the Irish, I think, are the worst in the world for
best at riding it out.
Oh my god, they will ride it out until death. Like, just never say a word. And on their deathbed, probably think, finally, I'm getting out of this place and I can get that weight off my shoulders.
You ever see Revolutionary Road? Revolutionary Road.
No.
Some well-known director, some like artsy director, I forget.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's this old couple at the end. This woman is like bitching about the main characters in the movie.
Yeah.
And they're just side characters. And he's like listening to her like talking. And he just slowly like turns his like hearing aid off. And then you just see her in silence still talking.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
That's what you've settled with?
Yeah.
Forever? It's going to be that? Oh. Yeah.
But that's what it is. I think, now I'm a lot more, I maybe... at times almost too quick to make my mind up. If I think something's wrong, to change it.
Instead of going like, hold on, I got to think about this.
Yeah, but I used to just ignore everything.
Yeah.
Any problems I had, you know. Then I think now I've maybe drifted a bit far to just snap decisions. But ultimately, I think that's better than the old way.
At least you're what deciding I need to do is something.
Just, yeah, what needs to sort of balance back to the middle.
You can't take stuff back. That's a problem. Nietzsche always says that. It's like once you say something out loud, it sticks in you.
Yeah.
If you're like, I don't think I like that guy, then from then on when you see him, it's like he's going to annoy the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Because you've said it out loud.
Yeah.
You know? But if you haven't said it, you can just like be annoyed sometimes and be like, okay, sometimes.
Yeah,
and
you
kind of bounce back. But
yeah.
It's better than indecision, though. Snap decisions got to be better than indecisions.
Yeah, I think so. But also, I'm very... When I say snap decisions, I don't do it to, like... I've got a lot of patience for people as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that comes from having sort of maybe... Yeah, not I don't want to say realizing that nothing matters.
Nothing matters.
But that
true.
Is sort of maybe the underlying feeling I've got from these experiences that, you know, if somebody's a bit of a dick and someone's like, oh, God, I hate that guy, I'm sort of like, nah, it's... Why are you letting it bother you that much? It's
just walk away.
Might just be just a bit like, of a dick. Or he might not be that big a dick. He's probably just said one thing.
You know, it's really
normally,
got
a lot
ire.
Of patience to like just see what they're about rather than just jump to the conclusions that someone's a dick.
Yeah. Most people aren't dicks. They're
not
trying
not
to be. Almost
often
nobody.
Well, often they're just, you know, putting on a show, aren't they?
Is
you know,
that too?
Like, at this festival, you must have seen it. There's people that walk around trying to act like they're big shots.
Joe DeRosa always does this thing where he would always like really like make fun of people, bust balls, but hard.
Mm.
But the only reason he was doing it is because he was the weakest guy.
Yeah.
That if you just make fun of him, he's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Don't do that. So well, it was just his way of like keeping people off him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what happens up here. People, you know, this festival can get in people's heads because, you know, it is essentially a 1,000 comedian competition to see who's funniest.
Were you holding out hope for like nominations for this stuff?
No, I never hold out hope. I mean, I've been lucky in the past. I've been nominated a couple of times, so I've had it. And yeah, I've never won it, but I've been.
Are there certain types of shows that like can be, and certain types of shows like this, which wouldn't be possibly nominated.
Well, this is the thing. I think some comics come up with the assumption that they have to do a certain type of show to get nominated, but it's just not true. The show I got nominated for 2 years ago was just an hour of straight stand up.
For best show or newcomer?
Best show.
Okay. Hour of straight stand up, and you got nominated.
Stand up. There was no theme cool. to it at all, and. You know, so that proves that it doesn't have to be a short story about your dad dying or something.
Yeah, it's like they
that.
Saw somebody do it and get nominated once, and they're like, I guess that's the way. But also, like, what are you going for nominations for? Go
exactly.
for the best show you can put on,
absolutely.
And then whoever comes and sees it, fine.
Yeah, because everything changes each year. Each year, the panel has different people on it, so you're trying to impress different... Yeah, you can't try to predict what they're looking for. Like, you know, weirdly, my show last year and this year, these two shows are definitely better than the show I got nominated for.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't get nominated because obviously this year my show was not the sort of thing that the judges were looking for. You know, and it's been a success. I've had a really good run. So if you don't come into this festival expecting to be nominated,
it's probably a lot more enjoyable.
Oh, so much more enjoyable. Also, I don't read any reviews.
I don't read anything
about comedy.
I had to tell Jenna Freeman. She's like, well, I got one good review, one bad. And I'm like, why are you reading reviews?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? Don't even read them.
Yeah.
Like, just avoid the urge and just like, your management reads those and they put them up where they have to.
That's it. I don't really think they're for us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That reviewer is essentially a review should be written to let people that are reading a newspaper.
What type of thing it is?
Yeah, to let them might want to go or might not want to go.
Yeah.
You know, what have you got? You're not going to be able to go and watch your own show. So why are you reading what somebody's
I heard this thing with who directed Juno?
Oh, what's her name?
The ex stripper.
Yeah. I forgot. I know who you mean.
But she used to be a reviewer too.
Really?
A film reviewer. And she was doing this panel with on the radio with her, another like current film reviewer, and somebody else. She looked up to this other guy. And she was like, look, I mean, when I was doing it, she goes, I'm not good like you. But like when I was doing it, I'm just telling you, like if I gave out too many good reviews in a row, bad review was coming. Doesn't matter what movie I was going to see.
God.
I just felt like I had to. And I get it because I used to rate my iTunes, give it like 5 stars or 4 stars.
Yeah.
If I gave out too many 5 stars in a row, I'd be like, this is getting out of control. I got to get a 3-star rating on a song for myself so I can like classify them in some way.
Have you ever?
So like, who cares then at that point?
No. Have you ever heard of a film reviewer called Mark Kermode?
Uh-uh.
He's an English film reviewer who is like probably our most well-known film reviewer, but he's not an arsehole. He's respected because he loves films. Like he's not just a snob.
Oh, that's cool.
Like he likes art house films, but like Like, sort of, he's the one who he got. Was it? He got kicked out of Cannes once because he heckled Lars von Trier because he thought Lars von Trier is just a pretentious arsehole, you know. And sort of, so he's not this somebody who just only chases sort of the art house. But he, I can't recommend it enough. If you go on YouTube, you'll find it. It's Mark Kermode's review of the Entourage movie.
Really?
It is the it's a 10-minute rant that you'd think was about a man whose family have been killed. Like, he hated it so much.
Really?
He says it's like, he said it's the worst piece of propaganda he's ever seen. Like, he just loses his mind. He goes, I hated every single person involved. He's such a, and at one point, he's shouting. At one point, he just, he says, like, compared to, like, he, the last film he did this about, where he just lost his mind and hated it, was Sex and the City 2.
Oh, really? And, Sex and the City 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he just said it basically, it was just an advertisement for consumerism. And, you know, and he said that, I think the line is, he says, compared to Sex and the City 2, Entourage... Oh, no, sorry. Compared to Entourage, Sex and the City 2 is a call to arms for the disaffected masses. He's literally saying that Sex and the City 2 was
way better.
Way better than Entourage. He just lost his mind.
I like those real reviews.
Yeah.
Or if they know what they're watching, too. Like, hey, it's a fucking action movie.
Yeah.
Relax. That's what it's good for.
But I say he loves an action film. Like, he's got a very good... Like, his favorite film of all time is The Exorcist, which I always like someone who says that.
Hmm.
So...
We used to pass those steps all the time when we were in DC. Ones that the guy that fell down. Yeah, I'd be like, oh, there's the Exorcist steps. Not so creepy.
No.
Not at all.
Yeah, I watched the first ever re-release in a cinema of The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah?
Because it got banned for years.
Why?
It was banned in the UK until it was like 98, I think it was.
Scary? Because it seemed too real?
It just got banned because of... It's
banning things still.
Yeah, but now it doesn't happen. Now nothing gets banned. But that got banned for years. For some reason, didn't get a cinematic release again until 1998, 97.
Banning The Exorcist. That's what those feminist bloggers are trying to do.
Banned.
Whatever they don't like. Doesn't matter. Whatever they don't like. The point is ban. The point is, like, get rid of this type of art that we don't like. It's like, it's the same people that wouldn't let Huck Finn get in libraries.
Yeah. I mean, it's that thing where, you know...
Try to control whatever
else
sees.
It's a fine line between criticizing something and calling it to be banned, isn't it? Yeah. I totally agree. If
saying it's garbage. That guy, Como, whatever, he wasn't like, Entourage movie should get pulled. And
no,
like,
no, no. Yeah. He just was he was giving his opinion, which is great. Yeah. It's fine. But yeah, there's a big difference, you know, between, people that calling something to be banned is just weird.
Yeah. It is. It's like, I want everyone thinking exactly like me. I don't know. Just like, tell them to avoid it.
Yeah.
Or you don't watch. They did that with Married with Children.
Yeah.
Do you remember that show?
Yeah, I remember the show, yeah.
I was in fourth grade, I think, when it came out, and people were picketing. It goes against family values.
Really?
Yeah, and Peggy Bundy had to, whatever her real name is, Kathy Zagal, Katie Zagal, she had to be like, there's four other channels.
Yeah.
Just watch one of those.
Yeah.
I don't understand what your problem is. Just go like that, and it's done.
Yeah. But there was a big scandal here last year.
Yeah.
There was a comedian called Dapper Laughs.
Dapper Laughs.
Yeah, he's like a character act who plays a sort of...
His real name's not Dapper Laughs.
No, his real name is Dan O'Reilly, I think.
Dan Per Laughs.
Dapper Laughs. He basically does these like online videos where but it's like him just catcalling women and stuff like that. It's been, you know, just being a bit of a creep. And he then did a TV show that was, actually wasn't that. It was just sort of a weird dating show where he tried to teach guys how to chat up women.
Because of the prior thing, they tried to get him banned.
That, and also because he was touring a show at the same time, and in the show there was like footage of him like saying he was going to rape a woman and stuff in the crowd, and it was just all kicked off, and like there was a petition went like they got signed by like hundreds of thousands of people to like ban his show, but weirdly the show ended up getting cancelled after the first series.
Why? Ratings?
Because the ratings were dreadful.
Yeah, that's why something should get cancelled.
So the petition actually. What it did was create a sort of
hype around it,
backlash where suddenly people were going, his show's been cancelled because of the people moaning. It's like, no, it got cancelled because it was shit and didn't get enough viewers. But if the petition hadn't been done, it would have just drifted off into the ether and no one would have even cared about it.
Yeah.
So it sometimes, that creating a fuss gives it more kudos than it
really
needed.
Any publicity is good publicity. Yeah, it really is. Like, what's this thing people are talking about banning?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason I've heard of Andrew Lawrence.
Yeah.
The only reason I've heard his name is because people are like, fuck that guy. I'm like, fuck, which guy?
Yeah.
Like, Andrew Lawrence. I'm like, oh, I got to check him out.
And he's actually a very funny stand-up and a really nice guy. It's just...
That's the thing, too. People go
online,
like...
He's an antagonist. Sometimes he tries to... Yeah, he tries to just wind people up.
Yeah.
But the way a lot of comedians up here have reacted, like, comedians are so sensitive. Like, this fringe, you get so many people just lose their minds when someone disagrees with him. Yeah.
I heard Andrew Maxwell.
Yes.
He's had a bit about it. He goes, if so many people put their opinions on Twitter, if it would cost you the price of a stamp to send your opinion, you wouldn't put a 20th of what you put out.
That's what I
just write me the letter if you really care.
But that's what I used to have a routine about that as well, about sort of how now you can just complain about everything too quick. Like in the old days, we used to write a letter. The moment you start writing, you just realize I'm not that upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
It slows you down. Too much work.
Yeah. When you come back from these trips, I mean, like in the minutes and hours afterwards, does it take you time to like reprocess? Or are you just like, nope, all right, let's go get something to eat?
With DMT, it's DMT. Pretty rapid. Like within probably 10 minutes, I reckon I could function normally.
You can function, but then what's your... Okay, because that's how salvia is. Like, it seems like you come back and everyone starts talking to you, but you're not back. And you're still like... But then 10 minutes after that, you're back. But there's still like... I'm feeling kind of groggy mentally.
It's a bit of residual, yeah. I wouldn't operate heavy machinery.
Yeah.
But
could you talk with your mom 30 minutes later?
Yeah, I feel good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Whereas like, weirdly, something like acid, if I have a proper acid session, like, you know, take two or three for a day, next day, even if I've slept well, I feel like I feel really clear headed. My head's fine, but my body feels tired and hungry. Yeah. It's like it's really had a workout. So sometimes I get sick actually after the day after acid, like in the evening, I have some sort of purge where my body goes,
like it's keeping you completely healthy while it's doing it, and then it's like now letting go.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes with mushrooms, I have, even the whole next day, I'm like, my mind is not, it's not slow like when I'm like high, but it's like, I need to process these things.
Yeah.
Like I've got some stuff to work out right now.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm like, hey, no, I can't talk right now. I'm thinking about something.
Yeah.
Like when you're going through a breakup almost, where like, I'm fine, but I'm thinking about stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did your ex take DMT also?
No.
Or hallucinogens?
No. She was never into any of that.
Oh yeah,
it was my own thing.
How illegal is it in the UK?
I don't actually know what the status of it is. I imagine it's...
I don't know either.
Because again, it's that thing. It's no one knows about it. It's never talked about. You've never heard a story about it on the news.
No,
I've never heard DMT mentioned it in any mainstream media outlet.
Yeah, I talked to my pothead friends. Renazisi had never heard of it.
Well, this is it. Yeah, most I know people that have done everything else, but have never heard of it. So. It's that's why I don't even think it would be. I think the police found it. They probably wouldn't even know what it was.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I think acid is probably a class A.
The class A thing is like, yeah, I guess that's just legal.
I reckon it is.
Probably mushrooms are, right? Weed is in America.
Yeah, a class A.
Yeah, I think it's above coke.
Really?
Yeah, it's some weird, like. They just classified it that way, and they never reclassified it to where it should be like D.
But what about the states where it's now legal?
It's federally class A, and there it's legal. So it's this weird, like, we don't know what we're going to do situation. But now they're laying off. Mm. But the states where it's legal, it's just they let it go. I mean, it's in Colorado, you can just, you don't even need a license or anything.
Yeah.
You just, anyone, out of state, in state, just goes in and buys it.
Buys it where?
Stores.
Really?
So you know how you have green crosses here where it's a pharmacy?
Pharmacies, yeah, yeah.
So in LA, green crosses are pot shops. So I got fooled a bunch in like China. Yeah. Where I'm like, and it's just anywhere. You see a green cross, and if you're like, oh, I'm going to a concert, I'll just pull over.
Yeah.
And as long as you have your doctor's recommendation, which costs $50, $60.
Oh, so you still do need a letter?
In California.
Right.
But in Washington and Colorado, just Washington, D.C., straight no. up.
Wow.
Yeah, and you just go in and then say hi.
And what's the sort of, what's your thought, what's your opinion on legalizing other drugs?
All drugs.
You reckon they should be legal?
A libertarian, yeah.
I'm not. It's Why? Weird. As somebody who's done a lot of drugs, like not a lot of in sort of consumption, but I've tried most drugs.
So here's the problem, though. I get not wanting to be around people.
Yeah.
But if someone's going to do it anyway...
Yeah,
they should then surrender their freedom. If they're like, cool, it's illegal, you can't do it. Like, okay, I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
Now what? Like, you're going to put me, you're going to take my freedom away?
But
they smoked weed in my house.
I genuinely think my and this is probably judgmental of me of people,
yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think most people should try drugs. I don't think most people have the capacity for it. I know really? So many people that would
get addicted or would just like not be
able to. Either people that have got addictive personalities, people that just haven't got the mental stability to like deal with, you know, it would just mess them up.
Like
know?
Alcohol, I guess.
Yeah, totally. So a lot of people shouldn't drink. So
right. It's not the best example. So because, I just think, you're like, yeah,
I just think you know, alcohol's already legal. We can't start rolling that back. But I genuinely think if they legalized all drugs, I think some people would just go bananas.
Ape shit, yeah.
I probably would actually.
But see, my thing is, that's on you. You'd make your decision.
Yeah.
So regulation, I could see. You know, like we don't allow under 21-year-olds to drink. You guys have under 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it bleeds to 16 and 19, I'm sure. But like...
Much younger sometimes.
Yeah. But like... yeah. In Israel, you don't even need that. Just like a 14-year-old go to a store and buy beer.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's for my father. They're like, okay. I'm sure he gave you money. Where else should you get money from? But you just have to learn how to handle it. When I was 18 and just started drinking, when I lived in Israel, it was like I couldn't handle it. And now, more or less, I can.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, my feeling is you're a grown man. You do what you want.
Yeah.
You want to hurt yourself? Hurt yourself.
I'm just really judgmental of others.
Should parkour be illegal? Should fucking skydiving be illegal? I mean, like, I don't know. Yeah, I get it. I'm a libertarian.
Yeah.
I feel like. Do you guys have libertarians?
Yeah. But I don't think it's that common a belief system here. I think, you know, I think we live in quite a conservative country. The UK is quite, not right wing, but it's sort of right of center, definitely. Most people.
I got turned away from going into the loft bar.
Yeah.
Because me and Ahir and two other people, two London comics, were... Because there's a big outdoor area at the bottom. I mean, like, let's smoke a joint. Like, no, let's wait until, let's do it outside.
Yeah.
And then we did. Then we, the guy's like, no, you can't come in. I'm like, why? I'm like, I just saw you smoking a joint.
Yeah.
He's like, it's disrespectful. I'm like, we did it outside. I was being respectful. Yeah. I was out of my way. And he was like, no, man, you should have gone on the street or something. I'm like, all right.
It's still, I mean, it's weird. Weed is still...
There's no place to smoke in London. I've tried.
No, streets. Not at all.
You go down every alleyway and it's like fucking four bars of people drinking in suits. On
It's not. It's still really like not frowned upon, but I do think we've got a very different weed culture here.
In like, the UK?
Yeah. Because the problem with it is, like, I started smoking weed when I was about 12.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Damn.
But that was the way it, but here, like if you get into that, you get into it young and normally.
See, that's why you need regulation. Instead of saying it's not happening, you gotta be like, hey, it is happening, be careful of these kids.
Yeah, but then that's why I think, you know, I don't really smoke weed anymore. I have the odd spliff, but I smoked so much of it when I was in my teens.
Got out of your system.
Yeah, I now, again, it's like I said about the reason I like DMT or acid is because they are extreme. I like that sort of extremities. You can go to it, you can go in and out in a day, done. But I find... I don't know, it's weird. I know people that love weed, and I get it, but for me, I just find it a little bit disappointing. I'm like, I just feel a bit relaxed.
I know what you mean.
It's like me having a glass of wine. I'm like, that's nice.
That's pretty much what it is. You don't get that super high like I used to get.
No.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that anymore. I want to get that.
Yeah.
We go to UFC fights. And you watch UFC at all?
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
And so I'll walk into the place with Joe Rogan and he'll like walk us to our seats and stuff and then we'll take whatever edibles. He's like, damn, I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
He's like, I got work to do, but I like to go be there and then just like be completely spaced out, look who I'm with and see them in the same face. I'm like, yes, that's where we want to be. Unable to comprehend anything.
Yeah. Because Joe Rogan's a big DMT believer, isn't he?
Yeah. Believer. What's that on your arm? Is that a DMT molecule? What is that?
That is, that one is.
That's, man. So you're into it.
Yeah. Well, that was...
Fucking tattoo.
I mean, yeah, but it's very hidden. No one ever... I never wear just a t-shirt on stage. I'll always have it covered up. It's just sort of for me.
Because of your nips.
Because of my nipples as well. Thanks for bringing them up, man.
I just put that on the mic. And they're puffy, but like, who cares?
I know, this is a thing. I've learned that. That's a weird reference for any listeners going, what the hell is wrong with his nipples?
Oh, yeah. It's his hour. It's part of his hour. How do you take it? Like, how much do you take? And like, how do you...
With DMT?
Yeah, like, how do you...
Well, normally, I've found the best way to do it is to make a little... I mean, you feel like a degenerate. You feel like you're smoking crack. But it's like on a bit of foil and cut the bottom off like a big water bowl.
Whoa. Hold on. What?
So the best way I've learned
take to foil like heroin.
So yeah, so you get like a big circle of foil.
Okay, aluminium foil.
Aluminium. Yeah,
aluminium. Give up. I didn't learn that in university.
And then DMT like a good amount in there.
Yeah,
and then just put that on the bottom of the bottle that you've cut the bottom off. Like maybe like a sort of liter or 2 liter bottle of.
And you
water.
So you cover up the bottom.
Yeah, so this foil covers the bottom and then the DMT is just sitting in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And then normally just poke a little hole. It's like you're making a bong, really. Poke a little hole in the side, just for air.
The side of the bottle?
Yeah, so you can put your finger over that.
Above or below the foil?
Above the foil.
Above the foil, okay.
And then so you burn it and basically what you see, it does...
Wait. Okay, hold on. So it's like... The mouth part
is...
That's where you put the foil?
No. Mouth part is where you're going to put your mouth. You cut the bottom of the
bottom. Oh, and you smoke it upright.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you actually burn the thing with your finger over the little hole you put in the side...
How does it keep the foil up in there?
Huh? Just squeeze it around the edges.
Oh, right, foil's right.
Quite
oh, yeah.
Hard,
I forgot about foil. Yeah. I was just thinking like it's just flat.
And when you burn it, it does. It's like sort of... Yeah, it does look like some sort of heroin or something. It just starts all... like bubbling and smoking,
yeah.
The whole bottle will fill up with smoke. And then if you just take your finger off a little hole to the side and suck it through, you get the whole lot in one go.
So while you're lighting it, are you breathing in?
No, normally what I'll do is let it fill the bottle.
On its own? Without...
Yeah, because if it's a big bottle, you can fill the whole thing with smoke.
And what, do you keep your hand over the top?
Yeah. Or you can stick your mouth over it.
Oh, right.
Which, again, it looks so degenerate. Yeah, it's the worst.
You don't want it to look like a degenerate.
It's that thing where, and obviously, when you do it, yeah. Like, and normally what you do is, well, take all the smoke down,
yeah.
And then quickly just like have another blast on it, because you want to get
even
of it, if you can get in there before you start shaking and having to put it down.
And how much do you take? Just all of it, and then whatever you got, and then whatever you can get in your lungs, you get in your lungs?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that thing where that's the one thing no one's ever told me how the exact measurements you're meant to do. There's sort of, you look online, there's all different theories, but it's just, you know, I think probably with about a gram of it, I reckon you could probably get about 5 good hits, maybe a bit more.
All I've gone is when people give it to me, they go, this is about 3 doses. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think it's an exact science, because no one really knows what they're doing. It's all just guesswork, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, the hardest thing is if it
properly
works.
That's how you do it over that thing? Man, that does seem like a fucking addict.
It's disgusting. I mean, like, yeah. I remember the first time I did it as well, and any time since, it's like when you smoke it, normally by like the second go, you're going. You can feel yourself going. You've just got to put it down.
Right.
And put everything down and then just lie back. So if anyone walked in, they just see you just lying on your back, just with a foil bottle. Just lighter, just like, oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you look like you just hit the brown.
My friend passed out on weed once.
Really?
And, yeah, it's happened. We looked on forums, and it's like, oh, it's pretty uncommon, but it happens a lot.
Yeah.
And she passed out at a movie theater in the lobby, and it's like, it looks like we're drug addicts. And then I realized, like I guess we are. I mean, yeah. It's drugs that made us do it, but it's not really. But, yeah, you don't want to look like that thing. That I've seen that in Central Washington, like Hicks, like area of a gravity bong. They cut at the bottom of a 2 liter thing.
Yeah,
light the top
and then push the water in.
And then pull it out of the water and then it sucks it all in.
Yeah, I've seen that in the past.
Yeah,
we used to do that in my weed days.
Really? Or they put a double sided tape all around it and then stuff the tape up and then pull it out of the bottle.
Right.
And that sucks all the things into it.
Yeah.
It's those homemade recipe things.
I know.
So my friend told me about it. He's like, you got to get a meth pipe. From Circus of Books in LA or these places have it.
I've heard that, but then that's, I don't know, that's even more degenerate.
You go in there and be like, do you have a, okay, people who do meth, do you have a pipe for the people who do meth? Because they're like, yes. I mean, they sell them. They know what it's for.
Yeah. There's a shop in, I've walked past a shop in Soho that sells them.
Really?
Yeah. There's a little head shop.
What is it? It looks like, it kind of looks like this, right? Where it's like, you have like a little ball.
Yeah.
And then it goes into a big... area.
Let me see.
That's terrible. But that is
terrible.
This is where you put the DMT.
Yeah.
In this ball, so you can light it from the bottom.
Yeah.
And then suck it into here, and this is where you breathe out of.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Man. That's not bad. It's like a swan. So you're not supposed to burn it, right? You're not supposed to put the flame right to
not
it.
Not on the thing, no. Yeah, you are meant to. I think just heat it so that it.
Some people say they do it on a bed of weed. Below and above.
Well, there's some. I've heard some people say a good trick to it is to put it, if you roll a spliff,
yeah,
put it in the bottom of the spliff, just like right near the sort of where you're holding it.
Yeah.
And it, the smoke sort of comes over, it heats it. So you're smoking it while you're smoking the spliff. And at the end, you get the hit.
Oh.
Somebody said that's a great way of doing it.
Wow.
Which sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
We're trying to argue with Reese about spliffs or just straight joints. And he was like, no, you got to separate. You can't just smoke at the end. You got to separate it so you're not just like... I'm like, that's what the filter's for.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, I get it, but not the whole way through. All you guys are just fucking tobacco addicts. You're trying to pretend like you're not.
Yeah,
one drop of weed in with a whole cigarette.
Yeah,
and you're like, no, it's weed.
Yeah, but I think it's not as big a culture here.
For sure not.
Because, yeah, I think...
Australia, it's like almost not around.
Oh, no, not at all.
Well, no, that's a coke town.
Where?
Coke country, country, Australia.
Australia?
Yeah. From what I've seen, you've seen different?
Yeah. Because it is for certain people because it's so expensive there. That's the thing about the UK. When Australians come to the UK and they realize they can get cheap.
It's an island. They got to bring it in. And
yeah. And also it's really I think a lot of people bring it in from Indonesia and stuff into Australia, and if you get caught getting it out of there, you're dead.
Oh,
you know
right.
I mean? So I think, the sort of rich folks do it in Australia, but it's still a real, it's still a real yuppie drug in Australia.
Whereas have you only been there during the festivals?
Yeah,
it might be different when you're around 1,000 comics than when you're, a month later.
Whereas in the UK, I think it's just it isn't it's quite readily available.
I fucking hate coke.
It's just, it just makes you talk about shit for longer. That's all it is.
If there's two cokeheads talking and it's like one talks while the other's waiting for the first guy to finish.
And then
he talks and the first guy is like, come on, finish. So I can just talk.
Yeah, it's tedious, isn't it?
Yeah. Are there different types of MDMA? Have you ever made it?
What, MDMA or DMT?
DMT.
I've never made it, no.
Some people make it, right?
Yeah, I think, I from what I gather, if you understand any basic chemistry, it's not that difficult to make.
I don't.
Yeah, no, neither do I. I mean, I don't even.
Do you know how many elements there are?
In a periodic table, is it 70 or something?
70?
There's loads.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I've
guess less than 100, but
yeah.
If I had to guess, I'd guess 45.
Yeah, I'd guess 70. But 70. I think I'm off.
Yeah. Are there different types of DMT?
I think there are, yeah. I think there's one called Changa, which is meant to be nice.
Yeah.
I've only ever had this.
I've heard another letter before DMT, like MFDMT or something like that.
I've not heard of that.
Okay. Just maybe it's a different way it's processed or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because it is a chemical, it's a chemical in your brain, isn't it? That's obviously.
Yeah, but where do they make it? They don't pull it out of your brain, right?
No. Well, it just recreates that, I suppose. It's like MDMA, which essentially is just serotonin. It's just pure
serotonin.
Well, it just makes it, doesn't it? It's just that chemical that gives you that dump of serotonin into your brain.
God, that's so good sometimes.
MDMA?
Yeah.
Well, so again, that was another one I got into when I was sort of younger a bit.
Oh, really?
And overdid it.
That's one I'll do it when last time I did it was with a girl at a music festival.
Yeah.
Somebody I liked and it was like, oh, this is perfect. We just sat on a hill and watched the Black Keys from far away.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I would only do it when I was forced to go to nightclubs in Vegas.
Yeah.
With my friends. I'm like, I hate this.
I never understood why people could do that and go out clubbing. Sorry, just not to get distracted again, but there is a man walking a ferret down the road. Look at that little thing.
Oh my god!
He's walking a ferret past our window.
Oh, a dragon!
He's dragging a ferret.
He was like, "Enough of that sign!"
Oh my god!
What is happening
in this town, man?
You think he's an artist?
I don't know.
Or you think he's a local?
I think he's a crazy guy. Look, he's just dragging a ferret along the street.
Look at this guy passing him. See if he looks. This couple.
Everyone is looking. Yeah, look, the couple's really enjoying this.
He's crossing. He's not even going near him. They're all crossing. Fuck it, I'm not going to chance it.
That's such a stupid pet to have. It's just annoying to walk with. Look how slow it is.
It's very slow.
Yeah.
You'd think it'd go faster.
Or just pick it up.
And why are you walking it? Just let it go run around your apartment.
I was saying, I never understood people that, I tell you, actually, no, I do understand. This is what, with when like a lot of people I know that when they got into things like MDMA,
yeah,
they really knew how to take it properly to go out clubbing. They would take a little bit mm-hmm. and then just get buzzed and die a little bit. Whereas me and a little group of my friends who got into it, we just, again, just classic, just
went crazy.
We would just get like, we'd get like, if four of us, we'd get like 3 grams and we'd do like just half a gram each off the bat.
Yeah.
And then just top up with the third. And it was just disgusting. Damn. It ended up with like, after about an hour, the four of us just under a duvet, just rubbing each other's heads. Because we just couldn't cope with anything else.
I mean, I like going obliterated on certain drugs, but there's also times where it's like, I don't know, if you're at a party, just like a cap of a mushroom. Yeah. And just walk around with a little buzz. Just like alcohol. Like two glasses of wine is not the worst thing in the world. You don't have to have 10.
No. That's it. I think that's
sometimes
my problem 10. In my youth was everything had to be done to excess. Whereas now, like I say, I don't really find most things boring apart from a couple of now and again I dip into some of the crazy ones.
Yeah. What?
Just acid and DMT.
Have you ever had bad
and
DMT
I've got
trips?
Quite a heavy heroin addiction.
Oh, you didn't know about that?
Just to bring
that's where the track marks are. Yeah. Have you ever done heroin?
I have smoked heroin once.
Did you throw up?
100%. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did it feel like fucking beauty and love?
I don't really want to, advertise it, but I will say it's...
I want to take
I get why people get addicted to it.
Yeah.
If you've got life problems and you can somehow... And then suddenly you can feel like that, then you would want to do it every day. It's just... Yeah. It was that thing. Oh, yeah. In my youth, I was one of these people that wasn't sort of these... you get some people like, I'd never want to do drugs.
Yeah.
I was never...
It's for losers.
Yeah, well, some people like that. I was the opposite. I just decided when I was very young, I want to try everything.
Yeah,
and did. And I don't think that's for everyone. This is why I'm not sort of. I genuinely.
How can you say it's not for everyone when you have enjoyed trying all the things?
Because other people don't. Other people don't enjoy it. I think I've got quite a good.
For sure, heroin's so addictive.
I've got I've not got an addictive personality. Like I can go through phases. I can go through phases up here.
Oh, right.
I can drink a load every day for 6 weeks. I could drink on the face of it look like an alcoholic, but then I can just overnight go, I'm not going to drink for a month.
Right.
But I've not got an addictive personality at all. So I think I've got a good temperament to try things. And I did all that and got it out of my system. And now I can just sort of, know what works and what doesn't.
Whereas I'm a pothead and I smoke pot multiple times every day.
Yeah.
If I go a full day without smoking pot, I'll mention it to my friends. Like, hey, look what I did.
Really?
I didn't smoke pot yesterday. But I had to come to London for some shoot last year.
Yeah.
5 days and then an extra day to like hang around, do some spots.
Yeah.
But for the 5 days, people are like, are you going crazy? I'm like, no, I'm working. I don't have time to find weed.
Yeah.
I had it, I'd smoke it, but it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Like, relax. But that's not an addictive substance.
It can be.
How'd you not get addicted to heroin? That's the biggest fear. That's my only fear, really.
I did it once, and I definitely wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have started. I wouldn't have done it next 3 or 4 days in a row because I knew like that was
good. My first time taking ecstasy was like that. I did it. Took a tab or a pill, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't. Maybe I'm feeling it. And my friend Duncan was like, there's no maybe. You're not feeling it.
Yeah.
And then he gave me another half, and I was like, oh, okay. I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next day, I was like, that was so much fun. Let's do it again. He was like, no, relax. Yeah. Whatever. Have you ever had a bad DMT trip? It's freaked you out.
Well, I think like that one I said about the funfair thing.
That was bad?
It wasn't bad. It was pretty. It was quite scary. It felt a bit intimidating.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that seems more fun. More like nice.
No, it wasn't a nice funfair. It was a very sort of quite intimidating atmosphere when I sort of felt like, again, that was that vibe of like, I definitely shouldn't be here.
Are there beings?
Well, it felt like there was, yeah, but
do they talk to you?
It's not really, no. That's the thing that... sort of now and again, yeah, you just get a sort of feel like they're aware that you're there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just feel that they're like, okay, they're watching me or whatever. So yeah, but I've never had any sort of, never felt like I've had a conversation.
Okay. Is it like dying? The girl I did it with was like, you die and you come
back.
Yeah,
I suppose. That first time I did it definitely felt like I'd died and come back. That was a real sense of like, oh shit, that's probably what it's like when you do die.
Yeah.
Which... would be not a bad thing.
I love that moment in nature films when the deer or the gazelle is getting caught by the lion. They're kicking, but then the lion re-grabs their neck, gets a good grasp of it, and they just go limp.
Yeah.
And they're just like, that's when it's like everything's being released in their brain. Like, you're gone. You don't have to feel this.
Yeah.
Just get out of here.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, it was, it's a very, I mean, if that is what dying feels like, it's not a it's not an unpleasant feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So it's a nice way to go. That sort of makes you believe, like, is there a God? Why else would that be part of it?
Yeah. But that is the thing. I suppose that is the scientific side of it. You could argue that the reason we have that in our brain is it's just a genetic...
That's what natural selection is. Like, yeah, it helps us.
It's given us a genetic, ability to cope with dying because it makes it feel nicer than it should.
Yeah.
That would be sort of, the cynical or skeptic's argument. Whereas the hippies would be like,
no, Brad, it's all connected. Yeah, anything unexplained throughout history, they've just attributed to God until they've explained it, and they go, well, this other stuff is God.
Yeah.
What does DMT look like? Is it looks, powder?
Is yeah, it's a crystally powder. You can get this sort of, you can get like a powdery one or this one. I think the Changa might be the one that is sort of, crystally.
Yeah. Somebody give me this when I got here.
Hello, that looks like you. Yeah, that looks like you've got some there.
So, how much of that would I smoke?
This is the whole point of this podcast. I've been building up to the point.
Part of it's to learn. It's a podcast about learning. Or should I just put it all on and then just smoke till I'm gone?
It looks like you'd get a couple out of that, maybe. I reckon you could maybe get two out of that.
That's all powder.
Yeah.
Man, you smell. Does it smell?
Yeah, oh God, when you burn it, it does smell pretty rough. And it's very harsh when you smoke it as well, by the way. I have to warn you that.
Oh, really?
It's harsh on the lungs. It's not a fun taste or feeling when you smoke it. It's just, but luckily it does kick in quick enough that it overrides it.
Smelly proof bags are so good.
What is it?
It's just, I've seen them before. Smelly proof. You just put weed in there and like, you just, I don't know, just does its job. No smell. Maybe it's just not open enough.
There is a little.
You smell it?
Yeah, it might be. I think you might be in business there.
This is what I'm going to take to the Highlands after I'm done.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, if you wanted to sort of make sure you at least get somewhere, I'd put a lot in.
Put a lot in.
Put a lot of it. Go for the full thing.
Yeah, why not, right?
Just get a big old, big liter, 2 liter bottle of water, empty it out, do that, and just do the lot.
Cut it open. And then
by the way, if you do die, please don't put this online. Because that would literally be me telling you to kill yourself. Yeah, just put it all in there. And R.I.P. Ari Shafir.
Well, I won't have time to. People are like, aren't you worried when you tell people to do stuff? Like they're going to get in trouble, get hurt? I'm like, a little. Because for sure it'll get back to me if I'm the one who told them.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But also, but I'm more worried about them not doing fun stuff.
Right. Well, I suppose maybe that's why I've got this feeling of saying that. I'm not saying, like, don't do this because for, like, self-preservation.
Yeah.
But I genuinely do. I've tried them all because I think I'm capable of doing that.
You don't think most people are capable of DMT?
Well, it's not. I don't think most people should do it. I think, you can't have the whole world bloody questioning everything. the world would crumble if everyone suddenly was like, I'm going to start questioning every little decision I make.
Well, wouldn't they just, like, live their lives more fuller?
Yeah, but not everyone could do that. People have to do their own thing so that I can get by being a stand-up and living my lifestyle.
We wanted to do the sketch once where I would ride up and down an elevator with a suit and in some like nice big office building downtown LA and then just in the middle of a ride just be like, what are we even doing here? Yeah. What are we doing with our lives? We're not, fuck this, and just take my jacket on, tie off, and be like, I'm quitting, fuck it. I'm living my life, I'm chasing my dreams, and just like filming the rest of them and seeing what would happen.
No, I do. I think people should, chase their dreams, but I would never ever recommend trying. I'd need to get to know somebody before I'd recommend them do something
really
like DMT. I think
we're on mushrooms,
even mushrooms,
same shit.
Yeah, I know people that have had such bad mushroom trips that
that's part of it. Then now you've had a bad mushroom trip.
Yeah, but I don't want somebody to have a bad experience.
What's a bad experience?
It should ultimately be your own decision, but I would never ever just say, guys, go out and try this, because I don't think if some people don't have that mind frame of wanting to, I don't think they should.
Oh, right.
Definitely.
So talk them into it? Yeah. Trying to take Alex Smith into doing it. And he's like, no way.
No.
I guess we're the opposite. You know, the street team? We had the same street team, right?
Yes, yeah.
I got them all mushrooms.
Really?
Yeah. I was nice, like, guys, I'm going to get you mushrooms. And then I did. And they've already started taking them.
That's why sales are just going to plummet this weekend.
This week has not been the best. Well, what can you do? I thought it would incentivize her to work harder, but
no,
it's not a responsible drug.
Living in a cave.
Yeah. Man, all right. Well, I think that's everything. Is there anything you want to add about DMT that maybe people should know about?
No, I think, like I said, I don't...
Do you do it with a friend or do you just do it alone?
You can do it with a friend. You can do it on your own. You know, it does feel way more degenerate when you do it on your own.
Yeah.
I'll say that for it. But with a friend, I think it's quite nice having a friend to sort of... It's almost like going to the gym and having someone to spot you.
Yeah, people say you need someone to watch you, but I'm like, well, why? You just kind of fall back.
Yeah. But, you know, just in case, imagine, like, you know, imagine you don't, because if you, it kicks in so quick that imagine you don't have time, you don't put a bottle down right, or you drop the, you know, and it's still hot and it burns something. You know, I think it is good to probably do it with a friend to just make sure that you're safe.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you're gone.
Yeah,
you're out able there. To.
Yeah,
have you seen people do them? You have.
Have I seen
other people do DMT?
Yeah,
what does their body look like? What happens to them?
I think I've seen. I've done it with two different people, and you know, they go through. I've had one of them had loads of different changing facial expressions the whole time.
Really?
It was like they were going through loads of different emotions,
like dreaming.
Yeah. But like real, like intense, like change of faces, and I've seen another friend just totally go as if he is dead, but you can hear him breathing. But like the whole face is just gone and very relaxed. Looks like he's just off somewhere else.
Oh man.
Yeah, so you can just be different.
Okay. All right, well.
Yeah, so that's it, really. Final
so maybe
thought,
Sunday night after this will be way in the past. But anyway, Sunday night. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter, at Carl Donnelly.
Two N's, two L's?
Two N's, two L's, yeah.
Okay.
And Carl with a C. And our podcast is on All Things Comedy.
It's called the Chris...
No, Carl Donnelly and Chris Martin podcast. Comedy How podcast.
Comedy podcast, nice. How long is comedy's podcast been taking off in London?
No, over here we've not got the sort of American podcast, you know, explosion. It's been, you know, ours. Yeah, we've been doing ours for a few years. It's got a good, cool, like cult following. It's nice.
Really?
Yeah. So, but yeah, over here, I think comedians over here are lazy. Do you know
it
why?
Didn't take off in New York first. Took off in LA first, and then New Yorkers started doing it.
But I think the reason, I think, because I'm American, like obviously your, you know, comedy circuit.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, it's a big country. There's a lot of traveling. Like, I think, you know, over here, we've got such a small country that if you're decent stand-up early doors, you can start making a decent living from just stand-up straight away.
God, not
straight
amazing. Away. It's amazing.
Two or 3 years.
Yeah.
In America, it's so much harder, I think.
2 or 3 years, you're still an open micer.
Yeah. And that kind of that's starting to happen here now as more people are trying to do stand-up. But so in America, I think you're encouraged to do things like podcasts and things to sort of...
Proactive.
Yeah, just be my... Whereas in the UK, comedians are lazy.
Because like I'll just go on a chat show once every twice a year, and then I can just like tour.
Yeah, definitely. Or even just do the clubs. If you just play the clubs, you can still make a really good living here.
Comics everywhere are really lazy. That's the thing.
Yeah, but I mean over here in particular, comics over here don't like doing stuff for free.
Really?
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, LA, that's where training, like everything's free.
Yeah. So that's why I think
it's amazing when people come over from here and then be like, "Wait, what? $15? What do you mean? It's Saturday night." We're like, man, congratulations, $15. Most shows don't pay anything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, yeah, that's it. You're going to be anywhere? Anybody can see you in, like, let's say October.
No.
November?
I mean, I'll be around. I'll just be, I'm always, I feel I'm.
Do you have any big things you want to release that I'll save this for?
For
the week before or something special or anything? You guys don't do that?
No, we don't really do it. Weird. Just people check me out, and obviously if they're in the UK, they can come and watch me do one of my many gigs.
Where do you work out in London?
Where do I work out?
Gigs. Yeah.
Oh, so all like,
home
I mean,
club.
Well, I don't really have a home club. I just do the whole. So like, I love like the Comedy Store, and you know, there's a great one called like the Banana Cabaret, which is that's just sort of one of the oldest running clubs in.
The Banana Cabaret.
Yeah, it's great. It's where I first watched live stand-up.
Really?
Yeah, it's like my sort of... That's the club when I first started. I was like, if I can ever play there, I'll have made it.
Oh, cool.
And it was just like, yeah. So now it's just one of my favorites.
And now you get to play there?
Regularly.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's pretty cool. I've gone to Top Secret a couple times.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And I've walked into the Comedy Store like when it was closed just to see it.
Yeah. Comedy Store on a good night is just
great.
An unbelievable room. Yeah.
Damn, I gotta play that.
The energy is just incredible.
Yeah, I went for like 2 weeks just to do workout spots a year ago, and my agents were like, no, we'll get you like gigs somewhere. I'm like, no, I want fans. I just want to like see what the scene is like.
Okay, yeah.
I just want to see what the London comics are like and what the crowds are like.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. All right. Thanks, Carl.
Cheers, man.
Cheers. This is the end. Beautiful friend. This is the end. My only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end. No safety or surprise, the end. I'll never look into your eyes again. That was the episode, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Question, have I done DMT since we did the podcast? Answer. That's a drum roll. And it wasn't bad. Have I? It was better the first time. The answer is no. I have not. I'm waiting to get that bottle. I can cut out the bottom of. No, I wasn't waiting for anything. I actually thought I brought it with me to LA and somewhere. Wherever I am. Australia? No. I thought I brought it with me on my travels in my bag, but I couldn't find it. So once I was gone, I was gone. I'm halfway through this long journey. 7 weeks on the road. And maybe longer. November, I think I left September 23rd. No. Yes. And I'm coming back November 8th. That's more than 7 weeks. That's like eight, bro. But it has allowed us another exciting adventure in dope meals. Someone suggested that. I forget who it was. Somebody suggested it online. Oh, I should look it up. By next time, I'll find it. Dope Meals. It's better than Eats Village. Than High Eats Village. I think Dope Meals is a great idea. So, today's Dope Meals comes... All right. I was asked to go on a waterfalling. Some guy named Ben reached out and asked me if I wanted to go waterfalling outside Brisbane. While I was here on Sunday. And I was like, well, I'm landing on Sunday, but how about Monday? And he teaches mixed martial arts, I think, in Brisbane. So he was like, yeah, I'll just take a day off. And his buddy Tim came with us. He doesn't have a normal job either. I think he's a clerk at Kohl's or something. And so we went out finding waterfalls. We found a bunch of fucking jumps, like ponds you can like jump off cliffs into. It was fun as shit. It was fun as shit. We found this one that, man, it gets scary up there when you want to jump. Ben didn't care at all. I cared a lot. And Tim seemed to care a lot too. And then, but the first one, okay, you can jump off. That's fine. I did that. But then there's this waterfall you can slide down a la the Goonies. And it doesn't look like it's going to be pain-free, but it's pretty pain-free. Although now that I'm back, my shoulder hurts a lot. I'll just get some ibuprofen. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is dope meals. On our journey, we were going to find... Ben said he grew up around this great meat pie truck outside Lismore, I think. And it was closed. It was closed. And I got a bunch of pot in me, and it was closed. It was done for the day. He said done forever. That's allegory. That's not the right word either. But it was closed. So we went into some other place, and some lady who looked like she was 700 was waiting on me. And she asked me what I wanted, and she was not very... Okay, when you get high and they get right in your face, Especially when you have a face that looks like you're that old. She had spots, so many spots. Her spots had spots. And what do you want? I was like, I think I want a bacon and egg roll. But I had had that earlier. Man, it was still pretty good. She goes, well, you want salad on that? Or no, she didn't say you want salad on that. She goes, do you want any salad? So when I'm in another country, I got to figure out on the fly. I'm pretty high. I got to figure out what she means by that. Because a bacon and egg roll does not come with a side salad. I don't think in any culture it would. So I deciphered that salad meant like tomatoes and lettuce and stuff. Is that wrong? I don't know. I said no, but I said I would like some hot sauce. And she looked at me like I had just killed Jesus Christ in front of her. And I laughed while doing it. And she was not a religious person, but not a non-religious person. So she was just sort of unplussed by the whole thing. Another terrible metaphor. It's not what I want. Okay, she looked like she didn't give a fuck. And then they had to Ben and Tim had to be like, no, chili sauce. He wants chili sauce. I'm like, yes, that is what I want. The food wasn't bad. The egg roll wasn't bad. They got a corned beef with gravy that looked delicious. Most of that fell on the floor. But then here's the best part about the dope meals. Then we're just driving around rural in the Gold Coast, fucking rural places, driving way too fast and almost definitely too much driving that was done while very drunk. I mean, it's the swigging. It's the swigging while driving. I didn't care, I guess. I just gave way. Guys, you shouldn't drive drunk, but at the same time, I'm here. And so we drove drunk for a while until we found a cow pasture. And we were going to look for fucking mushrooms. The first time I was able to pick mushrooms. Big city boy. Always raised near D.C. in the suburbs of D.C. And, well, I didn't do mushrooms then, but L.A., New York. I'd never gone mushroom picking in my entire time. I didn't trust them. We hopped over just outside Lismore. I even went to the fucking weed town, by the way. I went to the weed town of Australia, whatever it's called. Nubile. That's for sure not it. Newman? Nope. It's not it. Something with a new. Nubin. Numbun. I don't know. Guys, no matter what it is, if you're in a place like that and you can't pronounce or remember Alawunda, things like that, whatever the city town is, you should just know that the city you're forgetting is named after the indigenous tribe of people that was wiped off the face of the earth to make way for you. So when you're like, my mom's sister wants to live in Potomac, but she was Potomac adjacent. She got really mad that her house wasn't in Potomac. A lot of people around there, Cabin John, was like, they want to be in Potomac. And it's like, because that's where the rich Jews lived in Maryland, the rich Jews. But what it came up before that was the Potomac Indians, who I've never met one. Because we fucking murdered the fuck out of them so we could have Starbucks and gelato. In the rich part of town, where the rich Jews live. Skokie, Illinois. That's a tribe, you guys. We've crushed tribes. Anyway, that's not the point. I don't even know what time it is. So he hopped over this chicken wire fence. Immediately, Ben found three mushrooms. Immediately, as soon as we got over the fence. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, here they are. He was doing a lot of driving. He didn't want to fucking take mushrooms. Cool. I'll handle them for you. Gold caps. How do you know they're real mushrooms? We asked. Me and Tim asked. Because if you'll notice in the stem, when you pick them, they immediately start to change colors and get like this bluish, dark gray hue. It's the first time using the word hue today. And so I was able to pick one of the other ones out that was still down there. Fucking picked it out. Ate two of them. They're still... Mushrooms come in waves. It's the first time I've had fresh mushrooms. Fresh shrooms. I haven't drinking any, like, water in a long time. Since this morning. We found a rock quarry. You could dive off, you could swim into, that has a bunch of copper reserves. Anyway, the point is, the Dope Meals takes us today to outside Livermore. That's not the right word. Lismore. Lismore, maybe. Doesn't sound like a tribe of people, though. That sounds like something from England. And the cow pasture. And it was great. It was great. Delicious mushrooms for the first time. So thank you, Ben and Tim, for taking me on a wonderful adventure outside Brisbane, up to the Gold Coast. I'm so glad I stayed an extra day. I could have just gone straight to Sydney, but why? Why do that? That has been another adventure. No, wait. Episode of Dope Meals. That's why I should start tagging it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thank you to Carl Donnelly for doing the episode. Don't forget to listen to his podcast, Carl Donnelly and Chris Martin Show, on iTunes. If you're looking to get into new comedians, why not cross the pond? Why not cross the pond? My toe is fucked up. My toenail. It's got some fungus in there. Why not cross the pond and give these comics another listen? Carl Donnelly crushed it on my Storyteller Show. He crushed. He was really good. And if you want an episode to start with of the Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin Show or podcast, just look up on iTunes, Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin. I did an episode. I wasn't at my best. I was bombing on a lot of guest sets in Edinburgh. I wasn't getting in tune with them, the crowds wise. I felt like they hated me. I'm also not used to this haircut yet. Now I'm a little more used to it. I'm a little more comfortable in my own skin. But then it was only like a month or two old, and I felt like people were looking at me like, who are you fucking punk? I don't know. And it was a new country. My accent maybe, whatever. But that's a good way to start. They did an episode with Bill Burr too. You can go to that one. And give those guys a listen. Cross the pond, everybody. Cross the pond. They're on All Things Comedy, too. So they're in our comedy co-op. Podcast co-op. Why not? I got to do DMT like four more times and really cross over. Wow, these mushrooms are really good. He told me I'd have to eat like 10 of them to feel anything, but that's just not true. Give me some of this Bundaberg. And on the way back, I found and forgot about probably the main reason I'm in Australia. Tim Tams. I've been so caught up with Alan's snakes this whole time that I've forgotten the joy of Tim Tams. And I found a new sea salt caramel Tim Tam that some lady made it. It was inspired. You know how that guy did those Chuck Taylors, but they're more comfortable? What are those called? What were those Chuck Taylors called that were like some designer? Anyway, this lady, Adriano Zumbo. Could be a boy. Could be a boy. But they let her or him fucking... Because they have caramel Tim Tams. But salted caramel? As Ben said, only kind of caramel that should be. Yeah, Jews and Italians. Here's what they have in common. They're the only ones that have male names that can end with a vowel. Everyone else... You get vowel as the last letter, you know, H excluded, of the first name. That's almost always girl. But Italians switch it up. Jews too sometimes. I can't think of any examples right now except for Adriano Zumbo. Thank you for the sea salted caramel. I haven't even had it yet. What am I doing? All right, you guys, that's the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 240-something. Guys, if you've never taken mushrooms, you should really just take them. They're great. I went mushroom picking. I thought maybe I'd go all the way through and not do mushroom picking. But then I never have the delicious opportunity to eat Adriano Zumbo's inspired salted caramel Tim Tams. Okay. I see what you did there, Zumbo. Oh, you put a little salt on it. Oh, my. Anyway, you guys, that's the episode. Let's call it. Thank you very much for tuning in. Again, well, I haven't done the intro yet, but again, sorry about last week. Missing that fucking streak. The streak ended. Streak ended. I'll cover this in my intro. First, I gotta get music for DMT. And I gotta work on this. And it's nonstop work editing. All right. All right, you guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you, Carl Donnelly. And thank you, DMT. And thank you, Mushrooms. Thank you, Ben and Tim. Take me out today. Skip the tank. Number 240. One or two? DMT. Unless I thought of a better... No, it's DMT. Over and out.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end. It hurts to set you free, but you'll never follow me. The end of laughter and soft lies. The end of nights we try to die. This is